Matthew chapter 24, please. Chapter, of course, that during our study of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will doubtless return to again and again. I was reminded as we sung our hymn a few minutes ago, Tell Me the Old, Old Story, that going over teaching that we had already looked at is a good idea. Because I'm sure you noticed in that hymn it says, Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. When a teacher, any teacher, goes over a subject again, you might think, oh, we heard all that before. The chances are you may well have heard it before, but you've forgotten quite a bit of it. And it'll do no harm to hear it again. When a teacher does that, that's good teaching practice. Because that's what God does. When you start reading the Bible at the book of Genesis, you are introduced to truth, which as you turn the pages of the Bible, you'll see repeated, enlarged upon, but repeated. God knows how to teach, so repeating is a very good practice. Today, we're going to read some verses from Matthew chapter 24. I would like you to bear in mind that in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus goes into the subject of his return and the signs that will tell us of his return in great detail. You will find no other part of the Bible goes into this matter in greater detail. Matthew chapter 24 and on into chapter 25 is an answer given by the Lord Jesus to his disciples when they asked him some questions. Look at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, it's lovely to have been there and to visualize the Savior sitting there on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and speaking to them. The disciples came to him privately. This was a private conversation for the disciples only. It was for them alone. And it's recorded because God wants you also to listen. He wants you to be part of this conversation. He's allowed us to listen in to this conversation between the disciples and the Lord Jesus. And they asked him, look at what it says. Listen to them asking these questions. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? The word world there, I think, would be better translated by the word age. The end of this age. Because the world doesn't end when the Lord Jesus comes again. But the age in which we are living will end, and a new age will begin. So here are these disciples, and they're asking, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Notice how at the beginning of their question there are two words, tell us. Tell us. I want you to underline that. Tell us. In answer to this, the Savior didn't say, no, I'm not going to tell you. He didn't say that. They said, tell us. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Tell us. And he didn't say, no, I'm not going to tell you. It's not for you to know. He didn't say that, boys and girls. But he immediately began to tell them. Because it is something. He wants you to know. Now, there's a whole lot there in this chapter. And the chapter 25. It's inexhaustible. Preachers coming to it will find subjects for sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. That is, if they come to this chapter. Sadly, a lot of ministers don't. We'll read from verse 14. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. The term abomination of desolation is really a Jewish phrase that we would understand to simply say an abominable idol. An idol. When we read about the abomination of desolation or the abomination that maketh desolate, we're talking about an idol. Might I be permitted just to read it like that? When ye therefore shall see the idol spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let him take time to study the matter out and understand what is said here. Then, when you see this idol stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. If you were in your house and suddenly you discovered that there was a raging fire in the downstairs portion and you were upstairs, and you looked over the banister of the stairway and you saw the fire was raging and you had but seconds to get out, you wouldn't go to the wardrobe and begin to pack your clothes and under the bed and get your shoes all out. No, you just leave all behind and run down the stairs while there was a chance of getting down the stairs. Well, that's the same image that's presented to us here. The Lord says if you're on the housetop, when you hear that the idol has been set up in the holy place, when you hear that, and you're on the top of your house, the rooftop, the flat roof of the Jewish dwelling place, don't even pack a suitcase. You haven't time. You haven't time. That's what he says. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. He may have left his clothes at the gap into the field. And during the time he's there, he may have worked away and away and away. Now he's away from where the clothes are. And the Lord says, don't even go back looking for them. There's a great urgency here when the news comes of this idol being erected. A great urgency up to escape, to get away, not waste any time. Verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child. Ladies that maybe have little babies in their arms, and therefore they can't make the speed that they would like to, and who must look for some food for the baby to bring with her. Woe unto them. That's going to prove a big burden on this occasion. Verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. I want you to notice that. Neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. During the Second World War, and indeed I suppose most wars in recent years, the sound of the air raid warning became very familiar. Most of you probably won't have heard it, except you have listened maybe to a program about the Second World War. But people would have been going about their business, in their homes, in their factory, on the streets, traveling, and suddenly this wailing sound would begin and build up and build up. And everybody knew that the radar had detected German aircraft heading for the city to bomb it. And everybody began to run in the direction of the air raid shelter. If they were in London, most of them would have run towards the underground stations. Because during that period of time, known as the Blitz, when Germany bombed the city of London repeatedly night after night for quite a few months, most families lived down in the underground stations where it was safe from the bombs. That's where they lived during the night. And when morning came, out they came and surveyed the destruction that had been wrought during the night. But when they heard the siren, they didn't say, "Ah, well, it's time to make a wee cup of tea before I go." No. They ran. Most of them kept a wee suitcase packed and ready, so that they didn't have to go gather anything up. They just had it there, lifted it, and away. Well, that's the picture here. The Savior says, when you see the idol set up in the holy place, then run. Now, what I'm looking at today is the signs that will tell us the Lord Jesus is soon to return. The signs that will be seen in and around Jerusalem. We have already considered how that in the world there will be signs that the return of Christ is approaching, because wickedness will increase and increase and increase. The world's going to become more and more wicked, like it did in the days of Noah. As well as that, we considered how that there is going to be formed a 10-kingdom federation or unity of nations. 10 of them are going to come together and make the man called Antichrist their leader. As well as that, we said there would be signs in the land of Israel itself, just in Israel. But what was that sign? The people coming back. The Jew coming back. Israel as a nation once again being formed. That was the sign. But now we're focusing even on a smaller area. We're looking at the city of Jerusalem. There's going to be signs in the city of Jerusalem that indicate that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon return. And I'm going to give you one sign. The Jews are going to rebuild their temple. If you go to Jerusalem on a visit, you can come and approach near to what is called the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount. And if you go to Jerusalem and go to the Temple Mount, there's no temple. In fact, there's only one wall that is any way related to the temple. Anybody know the name of that wall? The Wailing Wall. It's called that because the Jews congregate there, and very often there's much weeping. The Jews wail the loss of the blessing of God that took place over 2,000 years ago. That's all that's left. But the Jews are going to rebuild their temple again. You know, just before I came down, I thought I'd just look up the internet. And there's an article there. Jewish Home Minister calls for temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. There's a law in Israel that forbids the Jew to go up onto the Temple Mount in case he walks on that place that was once within the very heart of the old temple called the Holy of Holies, which was forbidden to any Jew to enter except the high priest on the Day of Atonement. So they're not allowed to go onto the Temple Mount. But the point is this, look at the headline. Here's a government minister, and he's only one of tens of thousands who are saying, we want to build our temple again. That there is just a tiny indication that it will happen. I'm going to give you something that is more important for you to base your belief that the temple will be rebuilt. And it's here in the passage that we read together. I don't know if you picked it out. I don't know if you noticed. But the Saviour here tells them in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. Now that's a phrase that was ever linked to the temple. The place within the temple. The holy place. And here, in these words of the Lord Jesus, we see that what He is saying, what He is indicating is that one day the temple is going to be rebuilt. One day the temple is going to be rebuilt. We see that it's implied here. The Savior is talking about a day in which there will be in Jerusalem a holy place for this idol to be set up. That means the temple has been rebuilt. I'll quickly give you one more verse. My time is gone. Over in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the second coming of the Lord. There was some confusion amongst the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul says in the verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by or concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and concerning our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, You see, the church was being troubled by false teaching about the return of Christ. And Paul's calming these fears by teaching them the truth. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of the coming of Christ and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, or the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. There is only one structure in religious history that ever was called the temple of God. That which Solomon built was the temple of God. It was destroyed by the Babylonians, but it was rebuilt on the same site, and it was called the temple. You read about the Lord Jesus going into that building, into the temple, into the temple. You read about the apostles attending the temple, the temple, the temple. But that building's gone. It was destroyed in AD 70. But here Paul tells us, just before the Savior comes again, there is to rise this evil person called the Antichrist, and he will set himself up as God in the temple of God. Again, that implies there will be the rebuilding of the temple. So I'm saying to you, put it in your diary, I have to watch out for the rebuilding of the temple. And when I hear about that happening, then I know the coming of the Lord is very near. I've shown you that document that I just printed off the internet. I could have printed hundreds of documents about the same thing. There's another one. Israel planning new Jewish temple. You see, it's in the thinking of the Jewish people. It's in their minds. It's in their plans. Their thoughts are turning to the rebuilding of the temple. The Lord Jesus clearly indicates that will happen. One day, watch out for it. Let's bow in prayer.